Hey there, it's Dale and John again, welcoming you to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast, presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy, is part of a series of topics taking you, our listener, through the performance contracting process from the shallow end to the deep end.
And with each episode, we're going to walk you through a different aspect of performance contracting. On this podcast, we're going to share some real-life situations we've worked through for which performance contracting was a viable option for consideration.
Yeah, looking back over time, we've worked with everyone from state agency department heads, university officials, school superintendents, mayors, to county commissioners and boards, nearly all of them. Every year have to make hard decisions about where to allocate their limited funds.
All of them are confronted with the same hard reality. Their funding priorities have to address their organization's primary mission first, whether it's teaching the kids or running governments, often with little or nothing left over for other needs. One common but unfortunate consequence is more often than not, much needed facility maintenance and equipment replacement projects have to take a back seat. Facilities and maintenance folks find themselves trying to patch together failing systems, doing their best to keep things running with whatever budget money they've been given, and making the same replacement or modernization requests year after year in hopes that they will get funded. You may say they end up applying Band-Aids where surgery is really needed.
I remember a case where staff was counting on its board to allocate sufficient funds to replace a failing boiler that was so old that even the replacement parts had become hard to find. And then, sadly, one of the school buses broke down. So they'd waited for 3 years for the appropriated funds, and now they just weren't coming again. Of course, they had to replace the bus. The students had to get to school, and that blew the budget for another year. I've even heard a school superintendent say, we either use the money to make equipment repairs or give teachers a raise, and we only have one bucket of money.
Dale, that sounds like a broken record, but it is reality. There are competing budget demands for every dollar. It could be it's the increase of employee costs, the need for new books, or a new construction project, rather than addressing existing building comfort complaints, fixing the malfunctioning equipment, or replacing old equipment because a part is no longer available. One example that stands out for me is an old county courthouse that's still heated with old cast iron steam radiators. It was impossible to find repair parts for the entire system, and the county realized upgrading the system would also result in drastic fuel and cost savings, not to mention the cost savings associated with the ongoing maintenance needed to keep the system running and the occupants comfortable year after year. This situation alone motivated them to embark on what became a very successful comprehensive performance contracting project.
Yeah, there are indeed a lot of drivers. In addition to the broken building syndrome, maybe you're charged with implementing an executive order to reduce greenhouse gas emissions over the next several years. Or your organization adopted new sustainability goals or water reduction goals. The list really could go on and on. Broken buildings, unfunded mandates, sustainability plans, carbon or water reduction goals, executive orders, you name it. These motivators often lead to the same conclusion. You have needs to do things that you just simply don't have the money, time, or staff resources to resolve.
Dale, you know as well as I that that paints an unfortunate but very typical situation. It doesn't matter which scenario applies to you, the bottom line is often the same. Your budget often doesn't stretch far enough to cover all of your needs or goals. So at this point, you may wonder, is performance contracting a viable option for me? What are the options? A performance contract is one, of course. What are some of the other alternatives? Do nothing? Wait for the money? Do little projects every year, hoping the problems get fixed and maybe generate some energy savings, and you eventually catch up?
Well, you make good points, John. Too often, though, we see end users forced to make repairs in emergency situations. They're making emergency repairs, and frankly, they're paying emergency rates. It's only too common for the performance contracting option to come under consideration when it's the solution of last resort. But it's really so much more. It's a comprehensive, single point of responsibility solution that's guaranteed to perform and achieve its intended goal.
That's so right, Dale. It's much more than just an emergency solution or an option of last resort, as you say. And while we'd like to see performance contracting become a more business as usual model in more situations, confidence that that model works and that the guarantees are reliable and that the pricing and value is fair or equivalent to the traditional procurement methodologies needs to grow.
And that's the goal, right? For performance contracting to become business as usual, because it does offer so many benefits regardless of the situation. After all, performance contracting has a 30-year proven track record, having stood the test of time, whether it's an emergency option or for a comprehensive, well-planned building modernization. In nearly every state, there is enabling legislation with guidance for the delivery and process. And think about it. Where else can you name a procurement vehicle that comes with a guarantee that the energy cost savings will cover the investment, therefore protecting the property owner and taxpayers by mitigating their risk? We've all proven over time that traditional construction may get you a one-year warranty, but then you're pretty much on your own.
Well, have we lit some light bulbs out there? Or have we powered up some diodes if you're using LEDs, of course? If you've moved from asking, should I consider performance contracting as an option to saying, you know, I never thought about it this way before. If you're at a point where, regardless of your situation, you think maybe this might work for you, we say stay tuned and join us for our next episode as we take a deeper dive into the decision-making process.
Join us next time as we take that deeper dive. GESPCU. See you next time.